My name is Justin Feeney. I'm from Arkansas State University in Jonesboro. What we're going to be talking about today is whether or not dung beetles respond to ivermectin residues. It's an examination of olfactory cues used by Liberius pseudolavidius, Balthasar, Coleopterus scarabaeid, and finding bovine dung. Ivermectin is a popular insecticide used by farmers for the control of internal and external parasites of cattle. Is applied in various ways, where the active ingredient is excreted primarily unchanged in the feces, having lethal and sublethal effects on the coprophilus parasites, the dipterans and nematodes specifically. However, there's a downside. Bovine dung in North America supports a diverse fauna of insects, which could also be susceptible to ivermectin therapy. Dung beetles are a valuable component in agricultural ecosystems by the rapid burial of dung pats, which results in recycling of nutrients and increasing the grazing area. And they also reduce parasite populations by virtue of competing for the same resource. Therefore, due to their importance, a thorough understanding of how ivermectin therapy affects dung beetles and other natural processes is important. Now, you can see how important they are here. They even erected a sign in South America and South Africa saying, don't run them over, we need to protect them. Now, large droppings of domesticated cattle can remain available for insect colonization for weeks or months. Dung beetles locate and colonize these patties by using their olfactory senses, honing in on the odors emanating from the patty. It is not known how ivermectin affects the natural emission of dung odors. It has been reported that some dung beetles are able to discriminate between ivermectin-treated and untreated manure. These studies report significant differences in trapped beetles using baited pitfall traps, like we have here, that were spaced 5 meters apart, so ivermectin-treated and untreated, 5 meters apart, we had significant trap differences. Now, here we have four studies that examine cases where species of insects were reported to have an altered attraction, either significantly towards treated manure or repelled away. Starting off with the first one, Warthaw and Mahoon, they baited their traps for 24 hours here. And they found that there are three cases of attraction towards ivermectin-treated manure. Going to Haltier, he found that there are two cases of attraction towards ivermectin-treated manure after baiting for 24 hours. And then we get to Float, who examined all species of trapped insects, so not just beetles. Whereas the first two were beetles, Float looked at all species that were collected, and he found 25 cases of altered attraction. I believe it was 18 towards ivermectin and then 7 being repelled. And then finally, again in Float 1998, he reported 10 cases of altered attraction. And this is where it gets kind of interesting because four of those cases were by two of the same species, where on one occasion they were significantly attracted towards, and then on another occasion they were significantly repelled away. So, very interesting stuff here. And he baited his pitfall traps for 7 days. So it's a pretty long time that he allowed for colonization to occur. Now, Lamouret did a study where he collected trapped beetles each day while keeping the same bait. He reported an increase in attraction after 4 days of field exposure, and it persisted for 30 days. The problem is he didn't report this at the species level. He pooled all his beetles together and then reported that data. And this isn't all that useful because we don't expect all coprophilus to respond in an identical manner to the same set of odor attractants. Therefore, in this experiment, dung beetle Liberius pseudolavidius Balthasar represented odors of either ivermectin-treated or non-treated dung using a Y-tube olfactometer. Where those other studies used baited pitfall traps and let those traps sit out for either 24 hours or 7 days, this study compares the attractiveness of odors of ivermectin treated and untreated dung immediately after deposition. So we're looking at one time frame, not over a certain, not over a period of time where the bait was exposed in the field. Now, Liberis pseudolevitius is one of the more widely distributed scarab species in North America. So this data should provide important information for researchers throughout its distribution. Now, we collected these adult Liberis pseudolevitius from fresh dung pads at the Arkansas State University Farm Complex, and it was which had not been previously exposed to ivermectin. After collecting them, they were fasted for 16 to a 20-hour period, and then we would run them through this olfactometer. Here's our apparatus. What we have is compressed air is going to be passed through a water bath and then filtered through charcoal, and then enter a flow meter. Here it splits, and then we have where the stimuli, the odor sources, are placed in here, and then we would release a dung beetle on this end, and it would have to actively walk and then choose. It would have to walk all the way to the end of these test arms here. So they were given 10 minutes to do this. Once they would reach the end of the test arm, the trial would be over, or if they did not choose within 10 minutes, we would stop the trial then. After each trial, we would rinse the common stem and the test arms where the beetles had been previously been tested. We rinsed that with acetone so that they wouldn't leave any trails or anything that might bias the next species decision. Okay. Now, the manure we collected came from 23 cows and 11 calves. What we would do is we push them into this housing complex here with a cement floor, and when they would produce a sample, I would go in and I would scoop it up with my shovel, and this was, you know, I say within 30 minutes, but realistically I had nothing to do, so it was about 5 minutes after it fall, I'd scoop it up, so it was real fresh. 1 week later, after we had collected our control manure, we topically applied the ivermectin at the recommended dosages. And then 1 week after that was applied, I went in again and I collected our treated samples. For each collection, the dung was mixed and collected fresh, and then it was frozen immediately after. To determine discrimination, we use a two-tailed chi-square test and the modified attractivity index. Now here are our results. For the first treatment group, we had no odor versus no odor. This was just to determine that there was no inherent bias or maybe a fundamental flaw in the olfactometer apparatus, and it doesn't seem that there was that. It was not significant between the no odor and no odor in each test time. Treatment two, we have non-treated versus no odor, and we had 27 specimens going towards the non-treated and 14 going towards the no odor, and this was not significant, but there is somewhat of a tendency towards the manure. Now for treatment three, we used the treated manure and no odor, and again this was not significant, but there does seem to be this tendency towards the manure source when given a choice between no odor and a manure source. And then finally, treated versus untreated. There's 19 that went towards the treated and 18 towards the untreated. But this is not significant. Now here, we're looking at treatment two and three, and we're looking at the total percentage that shows a manure source versus no stimuli. So for treatment two, we had about 66% choosing choosing the manure source, that had not been treated, versus no odor, whereas for treatment three, it was about 69% choosing the manure source, which was treated, versus no odor. So they're very similar in the responses towards a manure source, the relative percentages, at least, that chose each manure source. Now, what these results suggest is that both manure sources were relatively equal in attractiveness for Liberis pseudolevitius, with a tendency towards the manure. This has also been reported in other studies where ivermectin therapy does not seem to affect the attractiveness of the manure source. But future research is being planned this upcoming summer, actually, at the Arkansas State Complex, where I'm going to be using baited pitfall traps, as these other studies did, and I'm going to be looking at trying to determine if the no discrimination is consistent throughout the field exposure of these baits, where Lamar saw that after 4 days an attraction came about, it persisted from 4 days to 30. We're going to see if this is consistent for Liberis pseudolevitius. Also, we're going to need to get species-specific data on how Liberis pseudolevitius is affected by contact to ivermectin during its developmental stages. Once we get data regarding that, we'll be able to maybe speculate a little bit more about how ivermectin therapy is affecting these populations and what could be done to manage this. I want to thank Dr. Paul Skelly for IDing this specimen for me, Dr. Kevin Float for just always being there, answering my questions, Elizabeth Medlin for helping me with my statistical analysis, and then the guys at the farm for just always helping me out. Any questions? You're asking if other insects being present in the manure could affect the emission of the volatiles that are being used to hone in on the paddy. I haven't been able to do that yet. We haven't considered that. I think that's definitely possible, as it's been reported that there seems to be a tendency where there's some species, you're going to get a whole lot more, and then when there's just not many at all, there's just nothing there. It's a weird thing that I don't think we're really familiar with the interactions that are going on, but that's something I would really be into looking at, so I haven't looked at that yet.
Thank you. That's probably enough questions. We're a little over time, but we can save any questions for later.
Thank you.